Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 1, let us hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And then our text, verses 11 and 12. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were settled with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So far God's word, and please keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at these couple of verses here, but also a little bit around that as well. So, but before we do that, please pray with me. Father, in your decree, in your sovereign plan, before the beginning of time, you foreordained that we would hear these words this evening. Because of that, we thank you that you have all things planned. Because you chose for us to hear this word, this message, to study this part of Scripture this evening, we pray that you would help us to pay attention this evening. Remove any of the distractions of the afternoon, the week, and help us simply to focus on what you would have us hear this afternoon. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening. We pray this in the name of our good shepherd, in Jesus' name. Amen. Failing to plan is planning to fail. I'm the kind of person that likes to cover all of my bases, think of all of the options, read all the instructions generally, and then do. When I was planning for my half Ironman, I wanted to make sure that I covered every single eventuality. I had all the equipment, and my family can attest to this, all the equipment with me just in case. On race day in the morning, I checked everything I had 5 times just to make sure I checked it one more time again. I had a sticker on my bike that told me where I needed to be when and what was going to be where, and I'd rehearsed in my mind the entire race. And in the Lord's providence, the plan pretty much came to fruition. Thankfully, it worked. But what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that likes to plan out everything, every particular little detail? Or are you the kind of person that just likes to go with the flow? See what happens. Now, there's nothing wrong in some ways with either approach. The problem happens if you live with a planner and you're a go-with-the-flower kind of person. Well, the other way around. Now, thankfully, in our relationship, we're both planners and we like to plan. Planning is important, especially when it comes to an important event, to a vital event, to a world-changing event. An event such as creating the world, creating the entire universe. And if I could speak about it in human terms, God is our planner. God is a planner, and it's God's good and big plan, his decree, that we're going to be considering this afternoon. We've been looking together in the canons of Dort. We've been seeing how man has sinned, how God in love sent his son, how God uses the preaching of the word to proclaim and bring the hope of the gospel to people, the two responses that you can have to God's word. And this evening we come, as we're considering overall the idea of election in the section of the canons of Dort, we come to God's plan, his decree. Now, the word decree, boys and girls, you'll see, is not actually there in our passage, but the idea is. And God's decree, as the theologians like to describe it, is defined as this. The decree of God is his eternal plan or purpose. God's decree is his eternal plan or purpose, in which he has foreordained all things that come to pass. His decree is his eternal plan or purpose, in which he has foreordained all things that come to pass. It's different to his word, although his word is that given to us is part of that, but it's bigger than that. It's his plan for every single thing that happens. Now, foreordained is a big word. Can any of the boys and girls tell me what they think foreordained means? What does foreordained mean? Maybe if you're a slightly older kid. What does foreordained mean?
Predetermined,
yes. Pre-planned, absolutely. And that's the idea of being pre-planned, predestined, foreordained, that we have here in verses 11 and 12 of our passage this afternoon. And as we do so, we're going to consider God's decree under this theme. The purpose of God's decree is his glory through his inheritance. The purpose of God's decree is his glory through his inheritance. The first point we're going to see, of three this afternoon, is that we are an inheritance. We are an inheritance. The context of what Paul has been talking about, we've read, and it's the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And Christ is central to those blessings. That's what Paul is talking about the hymn in verse 11. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Paul has in mind all the blessings that come to us via Jesus Christ, that only come to us through Jesus Christ. But as we look here at verse 11, we have a translation challenge. Who has an NIV here this afternoon? A couple of people have an NIV here. Okay, I want you to listen to, I'm going to read from you to you from both versions. Those of you who have an NIV will be able to follow the NIV part, the ESV, but listen and tell me if you can, or I won't ask you, but see if you can see the difference. In the ESV, we read this. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things. You got that? Obtained an inheritance. In the NIV, we have something different. It says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him. Can you see the difference? In the ESV, it says that we gain an inheritance. In the NIV, it says that God chooses us. We are God's inheritance. Are you with me so far? You see the differences in the words? Now, the challenge the translators had is that both of the ideas can come from the words that are used here. We are God's inheritance. We gain an inheritance. What's the correct answer here? Well, they're both capturing ideas and coming at it from different sides of the coin, but I think the best way to go is to go in this case with the NIV. And the reason that I say that is because when we look at verse 14, we read there that, again in the NIV, that he is the guarantee of our inheritance. But in verse 18 in the ESV, it says there, having your eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his, speaking of God the Father, glorious inheritance in the saints. You could interpret it either way, but the way that the NIV interprets it saying that we are God's inheritance, I think is the best way to go here. If I've lost you, don't worry about it. The point here is this, that it doesn't matter in the end. We end up reaching the same point in what Paul wants us to see. And the point is that we receive the blessings of Christ, whether we are his inheritance or whether we gain an inheritance, the blessings. We reach the end point at the end. We receive the blessings that Christ has obtained for us, the blessings that Paul has unpacked for us there in the first verses 3 through 10. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places from Jesus Christ, being chosen, being elected before the foundation of the world, predestined by being adopted as sons to Jesus Christ, living for the praise of his glorious grace, living in fellowship with brothers and sisters as we do that together, having redemption through his blood, sins forgiven, God's grace lavished upon us. Eternal life. It's a win-win for us. So the question for us to consider this afternoon in terms of that inheritance is, do we value that? Do we value being chosen by God? Do we value, if we want to take the ESV translation, do we value the fact that God has given us those blessings? And of course, the right answer this afternoon is yes, isn't it? Yes, we value those blessings. We value what God has given us. That is the right answer. But do we really value them? Do we meditate on them? Do we think about what God has given us? If I'm honest, I don't do that as much as I should. I don't reflect on God's blessings given to me. The blessing that he chose me, small and insignificant as I am. And I certainly don't give thanks to him enough for that. Are we thankful for the inheritance that we are to our Father? For the blessings that we gain? All of that is a blessing to us, brothers and sisters. Do we appreciate that? But as the canons of Dort highlights God's decree, we turn our attention to his decree as we look further in verses 11 and 12. And that's our second point this afternoon. God decreed his inheritance. And as I've said, the word decree is not there explicitly in our passage. It's like the word Trinity. It's a concept that's in the Bible, but you won't actually find the word Trinity in the Bible. But we see decree there in verse 11. That being predestined is the idea of God's planning before the beginning of time. And there in the end of verse 11, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, God's plan, his decree. And Ephesians 1 verse 11 has been described as one of the most strongest references to the fact that God is in control of all things, his sovereignty, the fact that he has planned every single thing. And while the idea of inheritance is there in our passage, the idea of God's decree is a truth that's being talked about here that is wider than simply our being chosen by God. God has worked all things according to the counsel of his will. And that means that he has planned every single thing. Now, we know that again, we know about God's plan, but do we understand the implications for our lives? That every single event that has ever happened on this earth, every single one, everything that is happening now, everything that is happening in the future, has been planned out by God. God is omniscient. Is one of the things that Scripture teaches. Can someone tell me what omniscience means? Omniscience is another way to say it. That's not the correct pronunciation, but it gives you a bit of a clue. What does omniscience mean? All-knowing. Thanks, Chibbe. God is all-knowing. God knows every single possibility of what could happen on earth, and he has chosen one possibility of all those possibilities. But let's drill it down to cellular level, to the smaller cell. God has planned from the beginning of time exactly what's going to happen in that cell, where it's going to be, what it's going to do. Every single cell of every single living thing, every single one of us, every single one of us on this earth at this moment in time, who has come, who will come, God knows every single thing. Stop and think about that for a moment. I can hardly remember what I had for breakfast, let alone every single thing that has happened today that I've read in the news. But God knows that for every single person, every single one of you, for your children, your grandchildren, those who are coming, those who have been, every single detail. And he planned all of that before the universe began. Nothing takes God by surprise. God wasn't surprised in the Garden of Eden when Eve made that choice and Adam was there with her. He didn't have to go to plan B. As one person once said to me, God doesn't have a plan B because it's always plan A. And that's a comforting truth that can give us confidence, isn't it? That God's promise that he works all things, as he says in Romans 8, for good. Nothing happens. Nothing happens without God's control and without God working it for the good of his people. But that also raises a few questions, I would imagine, in our minds as well. It certainly did in mine. Raises a question with regard to sin. If God is the planner of all things, doesn't that mean that God then is the author of sin? It's a fair question to ask, isn't it? But you see, because God is good, he can't be the author of sin. Theologians, in explaining that, say that God is permissive when it comes to sin. He allows sin. He decides not to hinder man from sin. But his blessing there is that he controls the damage. Could God have stopped the fall? What do you think, boys and girls? Could God have stopped the fall? Yeah, he could have stopped the fall. But he didn't. In his plan, he allowed for the fall to happen. It was part of his plan. Why did he do that? As we're talking about in men's Bible study the other night, we said that the answer to that question is one of those things that perhaps we need to let God answer. God could have stopped before, but he chose in his plan and is to bring him glory, as we shall see, to not do that. And does that mean that God planned the tough things that are going to happen in my life? And we all know, as I look around the room here, we all know what those tough things are for each and every one of us. Many of us are still going through those tough things. Did God plan those tough things? Yes, he did. And that can be tough to accept too, can't it? We don't want those tough things in our life. But we can rest in the fact that it is part of God's good plan. Not that what happens is good, but that it is part of his plan. And part of God's plan is, yes, salvation, election, as we're going to consider in the coming weeks as we're looking at the doctrine of election. But what's the purpose of God's decree as we continue in our passage this evening in our third and final point? What's the purpose of our becoming an inheritance? Verse 10 speaks about God's plan as well, as a plan which he worked things as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. We can't go into that this evening, but the idea that God brings all things together in Jesus Christ is part of his plan. He lavishes his grace upon us as part of his plan according to his purpose. But what is his actual purpose? We find there the answer in verse 12. God works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that, in verse 12, we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Now, again, a question as we look at our text, the thing that we need to ask ourselves, who were the first to hope in Christ? Who were the first to hope in Christ? Can anyone hazard a guess for me this afternoon? Who do you think is the first to hope in Christ here that Paul's talking about? I'll make it a little bit easier for you. No one wants to be wrong here. Is it the Greeks / Gentiles, or is it the Jews? Who were the first? The Jews, right, that makes it a bit easier. The Jews, yes. And it's the Jews that Paul is talking about here, first of all. Remembering, as we remember from Ephesians, he's going to talk about Jews and Greeks or Gentiles later on. He has this in mind here. And he's saying here in verse 12, he's talking about those who were first to hope in Christ, the Jews. That we might be to the praise of his glory. And then he includes and goes further in verse 13 and saying, in him you also, he widens it out, also to the Gentiles who are listening. So does that mean then in verse 11, that only the Jews were an inheritance? If Paul is saying, well, we who are the first to hope in Christ, does that mean that only the Jews were an inheritance? Well, no, that doesn't mean that, because in verse 13 he says, in him you also, implying there, you also are an inheritance. Paul wants to start to bring in these two groups that were opposed in some way in the church and say, you both are an inheritance. But Paul's point is, why has all this happened, is there in verse 12, and he also says that in verse 14 as well. We who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Verse 14, that we and the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his. Oh, folks. To the praise of his glory. Okay, you're with me, sort of. To the praise of his glory. That's the whole purpose. And that has practical implications in life. What's the chief end of man? I'll try again. The chief of man is? Thank you, Hans. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. What is the purpose of our existence? Is it to make God look good? It's not actually, because we can't make God look any better than he is. But our purpose is to bring him glory for his goodness, to lift him up. And that's why he decreed in his plan to bring us as his inheritance, to make us his children, to adopt us, so that he would be glorified. That's the end goal of election, to glorify his name. So that has implications in life as we make choices. And yes, we still have choices under God's plan, but as we make those choices, we need to be considering whether they are to the praise of his glory. How does it glorify God? That new house, that new job, that new car, that second car, third car, fourth car, fifth car. How am I going, some of these guys? Five? More than five? A few more than five. Okay, but you know what I'm saying there. To his glory. What I want to be when I grow up, boys and girls? God's glory, what would glorify God, needs to be part of your choice to be thinking about. When I am grown up, what am I going to be to the glory of God? When I'm retired, how am I going to spend my retirement to the glory of God? Now, we don't get to compartmentalize. Now, we do that sometimes when we do life, don't we? I am a husband. I am a father. I am a pastor. I am a board chairman. I'm a want-to-be kind of athlete. I have all these little boxes in my life. But God doesn't just fit into one of those boxes. He's not just the God of my pastor box or my husband box or my father box. But God is God over all of those boxes, every single area of my life, every single area of our life, whatever we do, is to be to God's glory. It's not just Sunday morning and afternoon to his glory. It's all things to his glory. So a good question when we reach or make any decision is, how will this be to the praise of his glory? Will that make a difference in how you make your decisions? Now you could say here, as we think about God's decree and his plan for all things, doesn't that just kill all the fun if we always have to think about how this is going to bring God glory? And the answer of Scripture is no. No. There's much enjoyment and blessing and freedom as we follow God's plan for our life, as we follow his will and his word. Because the purpose of electing us, saving us, redeeming us, making us his own, is to bring him glory. There's an app that the Mountain Safety Council has put out, an app for your phone. It's called Plan My Walk. And with this app, you can put in your intentions as to what you're going to do when you go away on a tramp or a walk on a hike. You can check the weather conditions and you can send that plan via the push of a button to someone who is your safe person for contact. So if you're in the bush, you get stuck and you can't get out, someone knows to call for help if you can't call for help. And the New Zealand Mountain Safety Council did some research about this app to see how that has changed people's behaviour out there in the bush. And as they've looked at people's behaviour, as they use this app, people are planning more. More people are staying safe. They're being better prepared and taking the better equipment with them as they go out on a hike. They're letting people know where they're going. The alarms are being sounded when someone isn't returning in time. And as a result of that, people are safer, all because they have planned. Now, there's one thing that there's not an app for, and that's God's grand plan. But we can learn about his plan, his revealed will for us with a Bible app on our phone. That is true. But because of God's plan, because of his decree, we are safe, we are secure, and we can live and rest and trust in his perfect decree, his plan, and we can look to the future, brothers and sisters, knowing that we can face anything and that ultimately we will bring glory to him. That's what the founders of the Canons of Dort wanted us to see with regard to God's decree. He has planned everything and it is good. That's what God wants us to see in Scripture. That as we are his inheritance, we bring him glory. Amen. Please pray with me. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have a perfect plan for every single person in this room. We thank you that that is a good plan, a perfect plan. We've heard and been challenged this afternoon that the purpose of your plan is to bring you glory. So we pray this afternoon, may our lives bring glory to you. We thank you for the fact that you chose us as your inheritance before the beginning of time. We thank you for all that that means in choosing us, election as we shall look at in the next couple of weeks, for the blessings that we receive in Jesus Christ, and forgive us, Heavenly Father, for not being grateful for everything that you give us. Help us to have as our plan, our goal, to put before us, to lift in front of us as we make decisions, as we go about life, that we are to live for your glory. That is your plan for our lives. As we work out what your plan means for us individually, as we face decisions in life, as we face directions in life, help us to rest in your plan, to seek your will for our lives, and trust that you are working all things for the good of those who love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song now that recognizes that all things are to the praise of his glorious grace. In the order of service that you may or may not have before you, I was very keen on singing verse 4 twice. We won't do that. We'll sing the first three verses. We'll receive the blessing of God, and then we'll sing the final two verses. So verses 1 to 3 for starters of number 179. Let's stand and sing together.